Welcome to Disruptive Adventism. My name is Jose Briones, and I'll be your host for this podcast. This podcast is about discussing the polemical statements and practices that are part of the Adventist fabric, which in turn shape this belief system to be unique and relevant for today's society. Our conversation today revolves around the idea of design and why it is important for the 21st century Adventist to be focused on relevant design for ministry. Thank you for listening. And with nothing else to say, let us begin. Thanks for tuning in again, everyone, to Disruptive Adventism. Today, we have a special podcast in the middle of our series. We're going to be talking about design and why it is important for the 21st century. I have with me the two co-founders of Types and Symbols, a creative studio designing Adventist experiences. So we have Mark and Ivan. How's it going, guys?
It's going well.
Great.
All right. Well, before we start, let's get a little bit of background from you guys. So, Ivan, do you want to get us started? Where you're from, what you do, and how do you guys started this whole process?
Sure. So I went to school for graphic design at Andrews University. While in school, I interned for a design studio that Mark ran previous to Types and Symbols. So that's how we met. Graduated with a BFA in graphic design, started working for that studio that Mark had before. And that's how we kind of got talking.
Okay, cool. Mark?
Yeah, well, my experience is similar to Ivan's. I also went to Andrews University for graphic design, graduated with a BFA many years before Ivan even started attending, and also received my my master's in graphic design from Notre Dame with the goal of maybe someday teaching. But yeah, we started the studio in 2015 after working together for quite a while and discussing how design could be used in service of something bigger than just, well, in our case, you know, selling a lot of products for the architecture and interior design trade. So we wanted to do something that had a little bit more of a meaningful output.
Okay. So why Types and Symbols? Why the name?
So my wife, Livy, and I were reading Christ's Object Lessons one evening, and there was a lot of there were a few references. We'd seen this phrase come up a few times, but we're reading that the types and symbols of the sanctuary system and how they pointed to Christ, the phrase types and symbols was referring to these beautiful experiences that pointed people to Christ. And as a design studio that draws symbols and works with type, it seemed completely perfect to use that kind of a name for our studio, the sanctuary system, and like what we believe about that and the meaning it has behind it is something very core to Adventism. So we really like how it related. We're trying to design experiences that point people to Christ.
When you say Adventist experiences, let's start talking about design first. Mm. You know, what does that mean? What does it mean to have an Adventist design per se?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I'll maybe say why the reason we think experiences and don't talk about graphic design all the time is because design is always in service of a larger experience. Mm. So if you see a business card, that is one touch point in an experience with an organization that also involves a video. It might also involve the presentation that's happening. It might involve the customer service of that organization. And we, while we are designers and we do work with graphic design, we like to think about those elements in service of this larger experience. And we think that comprehensive experience down to like the greeters at a church, for instance, and how friendly they are and how the bulletin looks and the whole order of service, that whole thing is for the purpose of expressing Adventism in a beautiful way. And we like our design to fit into that larger thing.
So what I'm hearing from you is that design is kind of part of the tool that gets you to the full experience.
Yeah, I think that's...
So as a kind of like a summary, how is it that you guys are incorporating this in the projects that you guys are working with in Adventism? You guys have had a couple of projects, the Andrew Study Bible, for example. I remember I have a copy, so it's very different than your regular, you know, just black cover KJV or NKJV or ESV, you know. It has more tones. And why do you guys, what are you guys emphasizing with when it comes to the experience?
That's a hard question to answer. I think when we think about design, I mean, for us, it's the details, there's a quote, a famous design quote says, the details aren't the details are the design. And for us, all of those little things add up to the sum of the entire experience or the whole thing that we're looking at. So whether it's the Andrew Study Bible or it's a branding exercise for a new organization, whatever it might be, we do spend a lot of time getting into every single little detail of that and making sure it's well considered, because we know all of those things will add up to the totality of the experience someone's mm-hmm. going to have with that organization. And then, as Ivan already said, that all results in a perception of that group or that organization or whoever we're working for. And we always want to make sure that that adds up to something that's representing Adventism in a very positive way, because we love the message. But we, historically as a church, as an organization, we haven't always done a great job presenting that message in a very compelling way. And that's really what we want to do.
So give me an example of how we are doing something good in the Adventist Church when it comes to design, when it comes to creating these experiences that you're talking about, and some things that may need update. And why is it necessary that we update our design in the Adventist experience as a whole? And how can we craft those? I know that's a lot of questions, so you can mm-hmm. go into any of the areas that I mentioned.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of things that we haven't worked on, because it seems
too self-serving.
Right. I think one organization that we have long admired, even before we started the studio, has been Lightbearers. They have a lot of intentionality around design and the style in which they communicate. They speak in a way that people can understand, even if they haven't been a lifelong Adventist. And in my experience growing up through the church, I have found them to be expressing a version of Adventism that I find most relevant and is answering the questions that I have been asking. So I think they've been doing a really great job considering the entire experience as a whole. I would also say, though it's not my style, a lot of the media ministries that exist, like It Is Written and Amazing Facts, they know their audience. And for the audience that they're communicating with, they're doing a really great job. Like they keep track of these things. They know how many interests they're getting, how many Bible studies come out of this. They have data that supports that their approach in the whole experience is working for a certain audience. I would say that the place where the Adventist Church sometimes doesn't seem to be very effective is in reaching millennials and more educated, higher earning populations. Mm-hmm. And those are the groups of people in our experience who really care about design and who know about all the latest design trends, or who are always having the most recent version of a phone. They start to intuitively know what user experience is and when it's good and when it's bad. And so I think the Adventist Church has been doing good design for certain audiences, and we want to help expand it to more audiences.
When I walk into a church, I look at the design intuitively. You know, I'm not a super design person. I think that, you know, you can always improve. But when I walk into a typical Adventist church, you know, I have this pews and at the front, the pulpit. You know, that's an Adventist experience per se. Because when I walk into a church, that's the design that they're communicating. That's a little bit more ecclesiastical than necessarily what I look in my Bible studies. I also think that I remember when I'm having an Adventist experience, something that I can really say that it's very firm in my head. It's like Pathfinders, right?
Yes.
The colors, like, you know, it's like, you know that the blue is friend. And that the green is explorer and the yellow is guide. Like, you know, it's like it's imprinted in my brain. Mm-hmm. That's an Adventist experience. When I see the logo of the Pathfinders, okay, that's Pathfinders. I cannot mistake it by anything else. So I think that what you're saying is that design has a big power, and that we need to kind of branch out and reach other people that may be out there, you know, because I guess at the end of the day, the Adventist experience is all about communicating to people that are not Adventist. At the end of the day, I think that's what we're standing for, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least what we're aiming towards. So talk to me a little bit about how do we get there? How do we have that project? How does it work? Where do you guys start when you guys are working with somebody or when you're developing your own projects? How is the experience, your own Adventist experience throughout it? Where do you start? How do you get inspiration? I mean, when it comes to creativity, I think we talk about this hey, inspiration, you know, like I need to get it. Where do you draw it from when you're working in your studio?
Inspiration is always a tough one. You know, for us, we try to demystify to some extent the design process.
Okay.
And we do have a pretty defined path that we work through with clients as we go through this, or even our own internal projects. I mean, it definitely starts with understanding the problem or the opportunity in the best way that we can. And so we start off with a lot of questions. We have a lot of branding exercises that we go through with clients to really understand what they're trying to communicate in terms of a core set of adjectives that may describe their organization or their product or their service. We then lead them through another series of exercises that put some visuals against that. So we can have both a shared visual language as well as a shared verbal language, I guess, to go along with that. And then that defines kind of our criteria for how we're going to evaluate the design solutions that we're now exploring coming up with. It's going to inform what we're designing, but it's also going to inform how we evaluate if something's successful or not.
Since you're demystifying this process, what will be some, maybe you're going to continue elaborating, what will be some like pointers that we can have for the churches or the creative people out there in the Adventist church that are trying to do design, but maybe on a budget, you know, maybe have to do it on their own? What are some of the steps, the principles that we can learn? Maybe you can elaborate on that as you're...
Yeah, I mean, the point of these exercises that I was just talking about is that we try to make it as objective as possible. There's always going to be a subjective component to design, but everything that we can do to take it away from the subjective so people can understand, okay, does it feel, you know, however we defined modern to be, or bold, or compassionate? You know, we have these words that we may have defined even internally as a group. And then how can we evaluate the work that we're making to see, is it really communicating those things? And so it's not just about, you know, do I like it? Do I think somebody else will like it? But is it communicating a certain core set of things that are really important to that organization or that product or service?
I really like what you're saying. I think that, yeah, there is an objective process to the whole idea of design. And I really appreciate that you're saying that, because I think a lot of us think that only creative people can get into design. And, you know, I think it takes more than that, more than just the person that has gone to graphic design school to do things. It's more like, hey, you are a member. You are part of the team. What is our objective? Let's look at it. Is this logo, is this ministry? Because design is not just what we see. It's also how we do things. You know, we do it with a certain intent. We create, as Ivan, and as you have said, some experience for the person to come. You know, I say walking to an Adventist church or doing other things, I think that's part of the process.
Well, and I love that, Jose, because I think you know, we try to not think about design. We're graphic designers, but we always go into a project thinking much more broadly than just a graphic design output, because we are thinking about the experience, and we want to make sure everyone can do that. Everything that we experience was designed to some extent. It's not always designed well, but if we can take a step and say, you know, how can we make this experience intentionally great? You know, the baptismal experience that you have as a church, you know, what is it like to be a new member? What is it like to be a guest walking through those doors? And how can we design that experience to be very welcoming and engaging for a new person that's coming in? All of those things we can think about and be very intentional about. And I think when we're intentional, we're designing. And so that's something we'd encourage everybody to do, whether or not it has a visual output or not, is not that critical.
Mm. That's really deep. I mean, I'm just thinking about many scenarios or just doing life and how we design the experience, our own experience, or helping other people see different things from the Bible, or maybe just even, you know, going to the gym, or, you know, what is that experience like? How can we design it better? How can we be more intentional, as you say, to do these things? Now, as you guys have worked on different projects, there is a project right now that you guys are focusing more. What is that project?
So this project is the Conflict Beautiful, and it's a redesign of the Conflict of the Ages series. Okay. So as a studio, we have two halves of our studio, is kind of how we think about it. We do a lot of client work for Adventist Church and the Adventist Ministries. But we also have a long list of projects we want to create that we don't have a client for, that we're really passionate about, that we want to bring to members or even as an evangelistic tools. And so the Conflict Beautiful is the first project that we've created as a studio that we're bringing to fruition now.
So what is it exactly that you guys are creating now with the Conflict Beautiful? Why is it maybe not how or what is it? It's a series of books. You know, that's what the Conflict of the Ages series is. Why did you feel the need that this needed to be updated? Why and how are you crafting it so that it's an Adventist experience?
We might have different answers on this.
Yeah, that's always great.
Yeah. For me, this is a project that goes back. It goes back a long ways. When my wife and I were first married, like 17 years ago, we were looking for a set of these books, and we just didn't find a set that we really found compelling that we wanted to own. And so, my wife has been. She loves old books, and so she's been really good about finding some vintage editions of these books that we now have in our home. But ever since then, it's been something that I've been thinking about. Like, these are great books. The content is amazing. And why don't we have books that match the beauty, sort of from a design perspective, that you get through the content? And so that's been lingering for a long time. And it wasn't until 2014, some of your listeners may be familiar with the project Bibliotheca, mm-hmm. Designed by Adam Lewis Green. And it was a redesign of the Bible and a repackaging of the Bible into a compelling reader's edition. And seeing that is sort of solidified this idea in our mind, like, man, that's the thing that we need for the Conflict of the Ages series. And so that turned it into more of like an idea for a real project. But it wasn't until this year that we started carving out time as a studio to really bring this project around. And we want this project, I think for me, there's a few things. On one level, we just really want beautiful books. Books that we'd be proud to display in our home or maybe give as a gift or be seen reading in public, but just beautifully designed books. Second, we want books that will provide a fantastic reading experience from the materials that are used throughout the book, the binding of the pages, so it lays flat, they're sewn in, you know, they're not going to fall out. They feel nice in your hand. The font that's being used that was designed just for long form readability, the margins that are in place, all of those details to give a really great reading experience. And then finally, books that maybe would engage an audience that either has written off Ellen White as irrelevant, is familiar with her, but said, it's not for me, or maybe is not even familiar with her and saying, you know what, give these books another chance. They are relevant. They're great content. And hopefully engage a group that just isn't engaged with Ellen White's writings right now, because it's really great work. And we feel like it's anyone who loves Jesus, anyone who loves the Bible will get a huge blessing from these books.
Hmm. What about you, Ivan? You have different responses, Mark said.
I think it's similar in a lot of ways. But so we have another partner in our studio named Brian Gray. He designed the original Adventist logo. He's like a towering figure in Adventist design history. I can't remember what project we were working on once, but he said something about like, he was worried that a design solution we were presenting looked like putting skinny pants or skinny jeans on a grandma. Do you remember this?
I do.
I don't remember what the project was, but he was concerned that like it just didn't fit the identity of the organization. Like we were doing something that was like too hip in some ways. And I think that's always stuck out with me because it's a funny way to talk about it's a funny way to give design feedback. But in everything that we do, and the reason we launched the studio is because we want to match the visuals, that the thing that's communicating, we want to match that with the actual identity of whatever organization. So when people think that, oh, we need a new logo, that we always wonder like, why do you think you have changed as an organization and so you need to change the way you communicate, or do you just think like, this is what the kids would be into? And we're always intending to be very careful that we don't design things that are trendy just because that's what we think we need. We don't update things just because it's been a while, but we want to design things that accurately communicate. And so with the Conflict Beautiful, these books have really beautiful content. We do not intend to make them more eye-catching or more sensational. Like, we're not trying to put images on the cover that are really exciting and like, what is this monster I'm looking at? Which has been an approach that some people have used. maybe fairly, but we wanted something that's elegant, that's honest, that has a lot of craftsmanship put into the physical nature of the book. And we do that, and we want to do that because the books are that valuable. The books are that beautiful. Like, the content is that way. And so we're simply trying to communicate what is already beautiful through the design.
Mm. When I'm thinking about something that you're saying, it's like, you know, the idea of updating. Yeah, just like updating for updating's sake. As a graphic designer, as you know, the studio that you guys work and everything, why is that not a good approach? Why is that? I mean, you kind of, your tone at least gave me this idea. Yeah. Of like, because I see it done a lot of times, and sometimes it's effective, you know, where it's like, well, we haven't revamped this for a while. Let's do it again, but let's just change a little bit. Like, for example, you know, I'm thinking of the logo, as you were mentioning, mm-hmm. the logo of the Adventist Church literally just changed, what is it, last year? That we started with Adventist identity, the new identity design mm-hmm. and stuff like that. It's kind of like, but I was like, okay, the logo didn't change. The colors is not two anymore. It's just one. And it looks a little bit newer. And it's like, I'm pretty sure there's a story behind mm-hmm. that. And if those designers want to talk to the podcast, hey, you're the designer.
Full disclosure.
No yeah. way. Oh, that's crazy. I didn't even know that. Well, that's funny. That's funny. This is funny. I mean, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
You have to keep this in now. It's a okay. great moment.
Yeah, it's an awesome moment. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, that's great. Well, why then did you guys update that? Was there a mission behind that? Maybe you guys want to explain, and why is it that we shouldn't just update for updating's sake?
Yeah. Well, so maybe hit the second part of that first. The reason updating for updating's sake is... Or we recommend against it is because, as we mentioned earlier, we want to consider the entire experience. And if you imagine a grandma starting to wear skinny jeans, like Brian was mentioning, there's something that feels incoherent about it, like it's inauthentic. And so if you as an organization are actually going to change the way that your organization works, like if you actually are going to care about youth, then maybe having a more youthful appearance is appropriate. But if you're just doing this to say like, hey, we really care about this demographic, but this demographic will not have any say in any of the decisions we make, then it feels dishonest in a way. Mm. It's easy to lie with design. Mm. And we think that creates a worse experience than if you just keep your outdated appearance with your outdated style.
So you're saying that maybe the experience needs to be revamped first. And then the design needs to match that experience that you're revamping.
Mm-hmm. Or the whole thing, like the whole experience okay. we think is what.
Or just core things about the organization. I mean, I think if someone recognizes that design's not working, we have a problem with our image, that should be maybe a clue, especially if it feels like, but that's authentically aligned with who we are. Maybe that's a good point to say, hey, maybe we need to rethink more fundamental aspects of our organization and who we are and how we're communicating, what our mission is and what we're trying to accomplish. And then once we've addressed those things, yeah, let's bring design in to help us communicate that new position, new authentic change within the organization to our audience. That's okay. The way you should go about that.
Cool. Well, let's talk a little bit more as we're starting to kind of like, you know, where we'll be in the closing section now. But like, yeah, I mean, this is crazy to me. That's like, well, I didn't know, you know, I was.
Do you want me to answer that first part? I answer the second
yeah,
part.
Yeah, go ahead. Answer the first part.
Sure. So I think the reason that church... or the global organization realized that there would be some benefit to an update is because the system as it was designed, it was in 97. There weren't smartphones back then. The places that the logo existed wasn't that widespread. Mm-hmm. When it was designed, I think it came out in 5 languages, maybe got out to 30. And the type that was used had to change in all these different contexts. And whenever you would see an Adventist publication or an organization, they would have difficulty using that official logo that was designed in 1996 or 97 when that process started. What the church wanted to do was create more ways for the global organization to be able to identify as Adventist or to be recognized as Adventist. So like the very slight update, because you're right in noticing that like there's not a lot that changed. The maybe major addition to it was the creation grid and the use of the Sabbath column, just reserving 1/7 of your layout to be different. It's been interesting seeing that play out because as of recently, the church didn't have a really centralized way of ensuring that people did things in all the same way. And when it comes to a graphic identity system, most organizations have that. And so McDonald's looks the same everywhere. Coca-Cola looks the same everywhere, but the Adventist Church didn't. So by including really simple things that people can do, even if their design looks really different from place to place, there's the Sabbath column and they're using the creation grid. It creates more opportunities for people to recognize it. Mm. So it was meant to allow greater diversity and still be recognized, whereas the previous system was a little too rigid and too hard to recognize.
So you're saying that from your standpoint, from the designing, I mean, you guys started working with the administrators and different, this is for diversity.
Yeah.
This is for bringing different experiences, but kind of like a unified maybe theme. Mm-hmm. Can I say that? I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's like there's a theme, but you can put it in your local context, but it's still going to look nice. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like a default. Like, you know, if you don't have already kind of like a brand, like, you know, I'm thinking maybe of churches like PMC, Storyline Church, the Church Story Project, like, you know, and many other churches that are big, they have their own brand. Is it created for those people? In addition to those small churches, like in the middle of Nebraska or in the middle of, like, you know, I'm from Nicaragua. So, like, you know, going to Nicaragua or going to Zambia or, you know, different country, that it's like you may not have all the resources to have your own branding. But let's make the Adventist things that you already have even better with your diverse context and background. Is that fair to say?
And I would say a goal of the project was to allow organizations that do have a lot of design existing already to be able to still fit in some way. So simply adding in the Sabbath column is one way that you can turn any organization into something that connects in some way. There are a lot of logos. It's a very difficult task to convince every organization that's ever been created through Adventism to use the Bible and flame symbol.
Mm-hmm.
And so by supporting those logos with this additional system, it allows them to continue sort of autonomously designing, but fitting within a larger system.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to add one thing to that too. I think, first, I think one of the points you made earlier is just a really important point for people to understand the difference between a logo and an identity system. Mm-hmm. And I think this is really about the identity system. The logo was refreshed for pragmatic reasons, like Ivan mentioned, languages, you know, digital applications, things like that. But this was about building a framework, an entire system that could add coherence while still leaving plenty of room for diversity across this global organization. And so, you know, I think that's a big part of it. Also, a lot of it's about an external. So you think about audiences, there's the internal audience and there's an external audience. And so for a church like PMC that maybe has its own identity, a lot of the internal things that happen maybe still feel very much like PMC's identity that they've mm-hmm. developed over the years. But as they communicate externally, they may start using some of the tools like the creation grid and the Sabbath column to make more of a clear connection that we're part of this global organization called Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And so for people outside of Adventism, they start seeing these connections, these visual connections between all these different churches and organizations, and realize, oh, this is all Adventism that's being communicated in a very diverse way.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that's a lot to take in for me, and I really appreciate the time that you guys have, you know, done here, and, like, you know, just recording the podcast and spreading out ideas about design. One more thing is, if you guys want to mention, like, you know, I heard the Conflict Beautiful. This is a great opportunity. So how do I back it up? How do I get involved? And how do I get some tips on design too? Like, you know, it's not, how do we contact you and how do we support this redesign of the Conflict of the Ages series?
Yeah, so the website for The Conflict Beautiful is theconflictbeautiful.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you go there, you can find a link to the Kickstarter, and that's where you can go to support. While the campaign is in progress, it ends November 15, so get there quick. Then we also have links to the Types and Symbols website on that website, and from there you can find out more about the studio and how to keep in touch.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Well, thanks again for your time and for just being willing to, you know, talk about design and talk about these important things, as it's our tradition now. It's a custom tradition that we do here at the podcast. We give the final word to our guest. So again, another time, two guests. So go ahead first, Mark, and close out, Ivan.
Okay, so I think design is, I love that you're doing this podcast on design. And the one thing that I'm really encouraged about, you know, we started the studio with a goal of improving design within the church. And the thing I'm finding really encouraging is most of our clients share that vision. They share that passion. They understand the role that design should play. And I think we're getting much more savvy as an organization as we think about designing experiences and what that should look like. And we truly do want to make great Adventist experiences. So that's a really encouraging thing for me. So thank you for having us on here to talk about that and design generally and to talk about the Conflict Beautiful. That's a project that's obviously very important to us personally. And I really hope your audience is into it.
I think one thing that I want people to know as they design for Adventism or participate in Adventism is that the membership in a lot of ways defines for people what Adventism is. So the way you, as a local person with your group of friends, share what Adventism is, like that is what people will know it is. Branding, as we talk about it, is not what you say about yourself, but what other people say about you. And I think when you think about that in terms of Adventism, it's really empowering to the local membership. I think it's sometimes easy to think that administrators or pastors or these evangelists, they are the ones who represent us, but you represent us, and that is something that you can be thoughtful of, like as you design your interactions with your friends and what you share, that has a big impact in helping people understand that Adventism is a beautiful thing.
That was our conversation about design with founders of Types and Symbols, Mark Cook and Ivan Rees-Knott. If you want to support The Conflict Beautiful, please go to Kickstarter and search The Conflict Beautiful. Your contribution will help the redesign of the Conflict of the Ages series become a reality. Thank you for listening today. We appreciate that you have taken the time to listen to our podcast and ask that you share it with others. Please leave a review on iTunes or your favorite podcatching app. If you're enjoying our content, we want to invite you to consider contributing to our cause by becoming a patron, where you will receive exclusive content, have the ability to sit down with the Disruptive Adventism team, and ask relevant questions for Adventism and society. If you're interested in contributing, head to patreon.com/disruptiveadventism. Another avenue for contribution is to purchase our merchandise through Amazon or tpublic.com. You can find the links to our merchandise on our Facebook or Instagram pages. We also hope that our content has intrigued you a little bit and that you decide to stay around for future podcasts. If you have any comments, feedback, or a topic you would like us to discuss, please go to our website at www.disruptiveadventism.org or shoot us an email to disruptiveadventism@gmail.com. We're eager to engage in discussions about any matter, so don't hesitate to contact us. This has been it for today. We hope you join us next time. And as always, we invite you to be disruptive.